Inspire us, O Lord, so that we might listen with open ears and find understanding and look for your guidance. Amen. It is said in the Song of Faith that Scripture is our song for the journey, the living word passed on from generation to generation to guide and to inspire, that we might wrestle a holy revelation for our time and place from the human experiences, the cultural assumptions of another era. God calls us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. The Spirit breathes revelatory power into Scripture, bestowing upon it a unique and normative place in the life of our community. The Spirit judges us critically when we abuse Scripture by interpreting it narrow-mindedly, using it as a tool of oppression, exclusion, or hatred. The wholeness of Scripture testifies to the oneness and faithfulness of God. The multiplicity of Scripture testifies to its depth. Two testaments, four gospels, contrasting points of view held in tension, all a faithful witness to the one and triune God, the holy mystery that is holy love. We find God made known in Jesus of Nazareth, and so we sing of God, the Christ, the Holy One embodied. Have you found the way to salvation? Have you ever been approached by someone who said, "If you found Christ, do you know the way?" How do we find the way? Is the way to salvation a straight and narrow way? Is it a high and lonely path? Is it a trail full of obstacles? Is it a highway to heaven? Or is it a long and winding road? Who in what is our guide? All these are metaphors and descriptions of humans struggling to find a way. I personally like the reminder that not all who wander are lost. So we are talking about Martin Luther these days and the Great Reformation that changed Western understanding of all of these things. The teachings of the church had been that the way to salvation was through the church. The priests would intercede for you, explain to you, and for you. But Martin Luther said that salvation is not something that we work for. Salvation is a gift that you are given only by God, not a priest. Something you discover, not something you buy. Luther said, there is only one priest, Jesus Christ. There is only one purpose, the glory of God. There is only one thing required, faith. There is only one entry, the grace of God. There is only one word, the words of the Bible, not the pronouncements of man, whether king, prince, pope, or priest. In Latin, these are called the solas, the five solas. That means only, or only one, or alone. Five solas, Bible, faith, grace, Christ, and God. And so today we are starting with the sola scriptura, it's called, the Bible alone. Luther said that in reading the Bible we can discover salvation. That's not language we use often in the United Church, but that is our heritage. We can discover salvation and God and grace and purpose and meaning and shared understanding. That we must not rely on someone else to read for us, nor should the clergy hoard the scriptures to themselves, doling out pieces as they please. But even once Bibles were printed, and when people could read them, or at least could listen to the scriptures read in their own language, even then, the meaning is not always clear, and it's not always something we agree on. You may have heard the Bible called a map to heaven or directions to salvation. If that's true, why are there such huge differences in how we understand the directions? Fundamentalists often say we take the Bible literally. We have said we take it seriously, but not literally. But fundamentalist churches argue among themselves about the meaning. And very few churches take literally the parts where Jesus says to give all your money away. Other groups argue that the Bible excludes these people, or those people, or women. There's an argument going on between two signs in the Southern Church, a Catholic church and a Baptist church, about whether dogs go to heaven. The United Church has been arguing also for years. In fact, the United Church, and I'm not going to go into that today, but the United Church was actually founded in the midst of arguments over the meaning of Scripture. Story for another time. So why, if this is a map to salvation, aren't we all going the same way? Why do some fundamentalists focus on an angry, punishing God? Why do Southern Baptists refuse to ordain women or gay people, and only recently would ordain black people? Why do Unitarian Universalists say that God will save everyone, and others say that God will only let certain people into heaven? Surely we're all reading the same book. The Bible is many things. It is a library. It is witness statements. It is word paintings. It includes instructions on building an ark for animals and a temple for humans. It includes history and law and novels and love poems. It includes people's experience of God. And we use it for different purposes at different times. But our greatest arguments, literally the life and death arguments that devolve into violence, rise out of the way we use the Bible to guide our behavior. We may be able to read the Bible, but how we interpret it and understand it for our own lives depends on something that in the United Church especially we rarely talk about, and it's called the rule of faith. Now imagine, we're going to go back to the map thing for a minute. Imagine, for example, you're going on a journey. You're on a pilgrimage. You're going to go from here to Golden Ears Park in Abbotsford. You've never been there before. So you ask several different people in the congregation for directions. They all give you different directions. They don't all go by the same route. You decide to draw a map. While you are drawing the map, you use certain rules based on the maps you've used in the past. Conventions, traditions. For example, most maps use a convention about which way is north. North is at the top of the map because the North Star was the traditional way of finding north. But you also make certain assumptions. Very first thing you need to know? Very good. Where are you? That sounds simpler than it is. So I'm going to ask you now to tell me which way you're facing. Northwest? Yep. Absolutely, you're facing northwest. A lot of people don't think in those terms, directions, right? That's really west, and that's kind of north. We can see the mountains. But if you get inside, it can be even more difficult to remember where you are. There's another assumption, or set of assumptions, and that is, what are the most important things you need to know, your assumptions? So the people who are giving you instructions are giving you instructions based on some different assumptions. Some of them assume you are driving. You need to know where the roads are. Some of them assume it's a pilgrimage, you are walking. It's probably good to know the shortcuts, the food stops. Some of them might assume you are actually bicycling, because that's how they would go. So you need to know where the hills are. Very different. And the assumptions are the most dangerous, because we don't even think about many of those things till we're already on the way. And we also assume that the people going to the same place are getting there the same way. And the people giving directions are giving them based on how you are getting there. So if we're trying to understand the Bible, what are the rules, the conventions, the rules of faith? What helps us understand? What are the clearly articulated conventions? Because there are some, like what is north? What are the assumptions that we need to recognize and to name? What's most important, the roads or the trails, the hills or the rivers? So in the United Church, one of the most clearly articulated rules of faith is a new creed. We start here. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is created, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. Or, for some United Churches and many other churches, the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. When we talk about God, we're talking about that God. When we read about God in the Bible, that's where we're starting often, sometimes without realizing it. It's not always where the writer of Exodus was starting. It's not where all Christians start, but it's where we start. We have another set of conventions that we don't talk about, really. They're not so clearly articulated, we just assume them. And therefore, we assume that all other Christians start with those two. It's called the quadrilateral, and I'm going to get a slide up there. Okay, we tend to assume this in the United Church because so much of us, so much of the way we approach things is this way. Wesley said that in discussing the Bible, we should keep in mind, start with Scripture, but also in discussing our lives, the tradition, our experience and our reason, and when confused, go back to Scripture. That was the Methodist form of study, out of which comes Methodism. That's the method. That's the method from which the term Methodism comes. We don't set aside our reason and our experience and this method. We use our traditions, but all of those are measured against the witness and the stories of God. Then there's other assumptions about God. We usually start by assuming here that God is a loving father or mother, the most present, active, loving parent possible. It's a positive assumption. Other people are, therefore, our brothers and sisters, our kin, our family. But we also assume that the people whose stories we're reading were like us, that they thought the same things were important, and that's not true. A slave thinks different things are important than a free man. A prophet wandering the desert thinks of water very differently than a person who lives in a rainforest. A shelter made to keep the heat out of the sun is different than a shelter made to keep out the rain. And the most dangerous assumptions of all are that God desires that we should keep the privileges we already have. So I've said our starting point is a loving God. But what if your starting point was the part of the Apostles' Creed that says he will come again to judge the living and the dead? What happens to that assumption about other people being your brothers and sisters and your kin? This is our way of understanding Scripture, but other people start with very different rules. Fundamentalist churches start not with the Creed, but usually the Book of Revelation, interpreting that not as God's revealing, but God's destructive power. Churches start with liturgy. The Orthodox churches, the Eastern Catholic churches, an ancient prayer that takes the place of a creed, and it's really, really, really long, by the way. 2 hours, you stand for the whole time, and it happens every Sunday. In order to find our way on this pilgrimage, we have to know and clearly understand where we're starting from and acknowledge that along the way we will meet others who have started from somewhere else. In order to better describe where we are starting from, the United Church adopted the Song of Faith. I read that. The living word passed from generation to guide and inspire, that we might wrestle a holy revelation for our time and place, from the human experiences and cultural assumptions of another era. We wrestle for holy revelation just as Jacob the wanderer wrestled with God in the desert. Our experience is tied to Jacob and all those other witnesses thousands of years ago through these stories and through the scriptures we cherish. Thus, we share our experience, our reason, and our tradition to wrestle for meaning in our lives that reflect the glory of God and the blessings of God in others. Too often we use scriptures not as revelation, but confirmation of our own righteousness or biases. And so we keep seeking and wrestling. And we seek not just alone, but together. And whichever way we go, the high and lonely road, or the straight and narrow, or the long and winding one, our starting point is to acknowledge that God goes before us, Christ walks with us, and the Spirit inspires us. Amen.